Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and, well, hey, you know what happens on Fridays here.
Start spreading the news.
That's right. Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
Okay. I'm looking forward to that great snow forecast for next week.
Yeah, well, we're about due. It is December, so, you know, unfortunately, we have that happen here. So, you know, just one of those things. All right, but hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we don't have Stu on Twitter just yet, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can pass any messages you have along to Stu. So there we go. All right, so what is going on? I know we don't have any Bulls or any Blackhawks tonight, so what are you going to watch that Warriors-Suns game that everybody's excited about because Phoenix has won like 18 in a row?
Well, it should be quite a game, and Phoenix is tied now with Golden State for the best record in the NBA, so it should be quite an exciting contest. And didn't Phoenix beat Golden State a week or so ago?
Yeah, but Phoenix is going to be without their best player now. He got hurt in that game, so he won't be playing tonight. So,
and the game
I'm not sure.
I assume the game will be in California, correct?
Yeah, I believe it's at Golden State this time. If my computer starts giving me trouble, I could actually check on that for you, but it's not cooperating with me here for some reason at the current time. I do not know why, but I'm hoping we're at least still on the air. So,
yeah, I'd be very surprised if Golden State didn't win decisively tonight.
Yeah, I have a feeling they'll end up getting the win, but you know, hopefully it's still a good game. But without Devin Booker, it's going to be really tough for Phoenix to stay with a team like Golden State. That, and I think I believe Klay Thompson may actually play tonight for the Warriors for the first time in like two full seasons.
Yeah, I'm always amazed that we've talked about this before as to how many serious injuries there are in the NBA, which is in comparison to football, for example, and hockey is more of a non-contact type sport, but the injuries just seem to pile up for all the teams year after year.
Yeah, for, you know, for whatever reason, you know, and I, you know, nobody's really came up with any type of explanation. And, you know, I guess you get the knees and the ankles and stuff from, you know, running up and down the hardwood floor. But as, you know, as serious as some of these are, that's, you know, that's just surprising that it happens.
Yeah, it seems to happen with great frequency over the past 5 years, maybe 10 years, and I can't really put a finger on it. Like you say, it's a lot of wear and tear in the knees and ankles running up and down the court, but there seems to be as many injuries in the NBA as there is in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, it just about, or at least close to it. It's just very odd the way, you know, it seems to shake out that way, where guys just, you know, keep picking up these injuries.
Yeah, has there been one team or any team over the last few years that haven't had a serious injury on one of the main players on their roster that you can think of?
No, I'm pretty sure if you went down the list, you would find probably at least one guy from every team. Even the non-contenders, the teams that pretty much tank every year, still get guys hurt.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that there are so many injuries, but I wouldn't imagine that tonight's game, even with two of the two best teams in the NBA, would attract much of a rating anyway.
No, well, it's an early season NBA game that, in reality means nothing. So, if you've got anything else to watch, you're going to watch it.
Now, is that a late night start because they're playing in San Francisco?
I believe it is. Yeah, I believe it's the second game on ESPN tonight. Again, I'll double-check it here. It looks like my internet is finally resetting for me, so I will double-check it as it gets up and running here. So, and we'll see what it has to say. But, yeah, I believe it's, obviously they're going to want a game like that on television somewhere. So it's definitely on somebody's network somewhere.
Yeah, it'll probably be on ESPN because TNT, I think, has a hockey game at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, well, Friday night is ESPN night to show basketball, so I would guess that's where it's going to end up. I just don't know. I would guess it's the 9 or 9:30 start time because they usually do a doubleheader. So
it's going to be broadcast by that woman who did some of the Cub games during the season. Beth, I forgot her last name.
But supposedly the first time
a woman has done the NBA game on national TV.
Yeah, I don't know. I pay so little attention to the NBA that I don't even know who announces regularly on ESPN.
Yeah, I thought I saw some kind of blurb about it, but I would imagine it'll be a fairly high-scoring game tonight.
Yeah, well, they're two of the higher-scoring teams in the league, and the NBA as a whole is, a poor defended league. So, yeah, it should be, it should definitely be a pretty high-scoring game.
Well, I hope it's more competitive than that Memphis game last night.
Yeah. Yeah, that I don't think that went as anybody planned, And oddly, Memphis did all that without their best player. Ja Morant is out. So
yeah, just think of what the score would have been if he had been playing.
You have to wonder if it would have even, could it have gotten worse? What, they won by 73?
Yeah, maybe they would have won by 90. Who knows? But that would be painful for the fans watching that game. You want a competitive contest. Not something like that.
Yeah, got it. Went to it. When, do you leave in the, the third quarter or whatever when it's a blowout or, with what you paid for the tickets, or do you find a way to try to stick it out and stay to the end?
Well, I think the season ticket holders might be leaving a bit early then, but the ones that maybe save their hard-earned money and come out once or twice a year to watch the NBA would probably stick it out to the finish.
Yeah, because that's just that definitely would have been tough to sit through. I have sat blowout baseball games, but with my lack of interest in the NBA, I don't know if I could have done that one.
Yeah, I got a free comp tickets for a Cub game a number of years ago, for us, for the whole family. Great seats, free parking, and the Cubs lost 17-0. But that is not much fun.
No, those are generally not the most fun games to go to. But hey, at least look at the bright side, you didn't pay for it.
That's exactly. That's the only consolation, right?
Yeah.
Of course, I did pay for the concessions though.
Yeah, which is just as bad at some points in time at places. So all right, let's see. I think I'm finally close to back up and running here. I just need the NBA schedule to come up tonight so I can see who we have where and what the games are. But it takes for some, you know, there must be a lot of people on my network at this time or something that it always runs
well,
like this during the podcast.
Right, it's probably a prime time for it. And, but as you pointed out, the Bulls and Blackhawks, who both played last night, aren't playing tonight.
Yeah, we have the first game on ESPN tonight as the Philadelphia 76ers at the Atlanta Hawks. That has a 6:30 start. And then, yeah, Phoenix at Golden State is the 9 p.m. game.
Yeah, I just can't see Golden State losing that game.
Yeah, no, I would be completely shocked if they didn't get the win there.
And they wound up losing when they played Phoenix a week or two ago. They lost by, it was pretty competitive. I think they wound up losing by 7 or 8 points, if memory serves.
Yeah, I don't remember. I know it wasn't that long ago, but like I said, it's the NBA, and you know, honestly, I just don't care.
Yeah,
you know, I pay enough to,
yeah,
you know what goes on.
I'm trying to remember back to last season, and once again, my memory is slipping away. Maybe you could refresh my memory. Was Phoenix as good last year as they started out this season? I don't think they were. They were good, but
no,
not
they,
this good.
They went to the finals. They're the team that Milwaukee beat.
No, that's right. That's right, but I don't think they got off to the kind of start they got off to this season.
No, well, you know, with the way they're rolling now, I mean, there aren't too many teams that got off to that kind of start. I mean, they're 19-3, so.
I wonder,
you know, you're not going to do it.
Will the Bulls give them a competitive game when they meet?
No. Well, not if it's on the West Coast. So.
Yeah, I remember with Golden State dismantled the Bulls too earlier this season.
You know, and they do have Golden State is installed as a 7-point favorite heading into tonight's game. So
that sounds about right. That sounds about right. That sounds like a fair number.
You know, and yeah, I mean that makes sense. They're at home, and Phoenix is without its best player. So
even if they had their best player, I would still give them a 5 to 7 point favorite for Golden State for tonight's game.
Yeah, well, it might be, you know, it would probably be lower than 7 if Booker was playing. But yeah, at home you would think Golden State would still be the favorite.
Yeah, they're hard to beat at their own home court. Well, most teams are, but especially the Golden State.
Yeah, they're actually 11-1 at home. But to be fair, Phoenix is 9-1 on the road. So
yeah, maybe I'll watch the first half tonight. I'll see.
Yeah, I won't watch any of either game, the Hawks or the Sixers or Golden State or Phoenix. I'm sure I'll hear about it or see the highlights tomorrow. But yeah, I have zero interest in what either team is going to do.
Yeah, I watched some of the Bulls game last night, but I didn't see the last few minutes of the game. We had a late dinner, so I was quite surprised when I found out they had won that game, because it's one of those NBA road game things when the road team has a big lead, and in the first half, and then the home team starts to slowly erode on that and surpasses them in the fourth quarter and wins the game. So I was kind of surprised the Bulls managed to wind up winning that one.
Yeah, it was a I was surprised to see the win, too, especially being that the game was on the road. You know, I thought they would stumble there because the Knicks are a pretty good team, but I guess not.
Yeah, even more surprising was that the Blackhawks won in that shootout at Washington, and that was the first time they had beaten Washington on the road in a little over 15 years. So that was a very surprising win for one of the better teams in the league.
So yeah, well, you know, you get in those shootouts, and you know, almost anything can really kind of happen. So you just never know.
No, as I mentioned to you, I think in an email that the Blackhawks were quite fortunate last night because during the course of the game, including overtime, I think Washington had five shots that went off the crossbar of the post. And,
oh, did they? Wow.
Goalie's best friend, especially last night. That's a lot. More than usual. That was an incredible amount. So the Blackhawks are quite fortunate. Yeah, one went off the crossbar in overtime also.
So yeah, well, you know that, you know, sometimes it just kind of goes your way. So
yeah, there's a shot of the Blackhawk goaltender Fleury kind of kissing the crossbar, or kind of saying thank you, which is pretty amusing.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, you know, they did get the win, which is all that kind of matters.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping they would get the 1 point, and getting two was quite surprising, but they're still way down in the standings, with looks like a very slim chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't kind of see that really happening this year for them. I don't know. There's still a long way to go, so maybe they'll sneak in as the eighth seed or something, but I don't have a lot of confidence in that actually happening.
Oh, by the way, while I have a chance, I must tell you that there was an important event that took place in the world of sports today that you're probably not aware of. Game 6 of World Chess Championship today between Magnus Carlsen, the champion, and the Russian, whose last name I will not try to pronounce. It was starts out ITO, and it's about 18 letters, so I can't pronounce it. But Carlsen, the defending world champion, broke through in the longest game ever in a world championship match. The game took 136 moves before he finally won.
Wow.
So that set an all-time record.
And how did they say how long the game took overall? Did they say?
It took about 8 hours. It took about 8 hours.
Wow.
A long time. A lot of stamina involved. And allegedly reliable sources tell me that there were no injuries incurred during that game also.
Hopefully.
Yes.
That's always a positive. So.
Yes. It's a 14 games, and that was the sixth game. So, of course, the champion now has a huge advantage. There's only 8 games remaining, so it looks like he'll probably retain. Which he's done for about 10 years. Yeah, it was quite an interesting game. I know you played a little bit, and it was interesting. The Russian, the only piece the Russian had left at the end of the game was a queen. Of course, naturally the king. A queen versus the champion had a rook, a knight, and 2 pawns, and was able to maneuver them down and force the win. But you had to be very technically sound to do something like that.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that.
The victory part of her would have eluded you during that game if you had you would have botched it somehow.
Oh, definitely. I would have screwed it up big time. So, no doubt about that at all. So something would have went wrong, and I would have been left behind.
Yeah, as one professional used to say, one of the world champions, I think, said that. He said, the mistakes are all there waiting to be made. And
that's
a true one. That's a very true statement.
Yeah, and I'm sure I've made most or all of them at some point in time.
So have we all.
So, we'll have to see. There was something. I'm wondering if maybe you can explain this one to me. I saw this today that the NFL has issued a 3-game suspension to Tampa Bay wide receiver Antonio Brown because he faked a vaccination card. Now, what's interesting to me on this is it's not mandatory for NFL players to be vaccinated. Why did he go through all the trouble of getting a fake card? It seems kind of stupid to me.
It doesn't make much sense, but I'm wondering if his past indiscretions, and there have been a myriad of them during the course of his career, had anything to do with the severity of the penalty.
Well, I'm sure that factored in, which it should. I mean, he's got a laundry list of, issues and other things that he's been through in his career. But this one, this one just seems really stupid. I mean, they're not saying you have to be vaccinated, but yet you go out and fake something so you can show you are. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it was kind of mystifying, and he won't get paid for those 3 games, and that's a lot of money involved. But based upon what this guy has done off the field, I feel zero sympathy for him.
Yeah, no, he just seems like a complete tool bag, but, and there are some reports that he may be released once the suspension is over. They may not even bring him back and deal with it. So we'll have to see how that goes.
I've always been surprised that he still remains in the NFL. I guess there's such a double standard in the NFL sometimes. If you're that good, if you have talent, no matter what you do off the field, there'll still be a team or two that'll be interested in signing you.
Oh, yeah. And if you have talent, and I mean that goes for any league, if you have talent, they find ways to get you back in.
That's true. And on the other hand, some fringe or marginal players who do something very minor in terms of a penalty get suspended or get kicked out of the league, and just the double standard is very, very bothersome sometimes.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's just one of the things you deal with. Talent in the end wins out because talent wins games. So
yeah, but I for one was less than surprised when I found out that he faked his vaccination card.
Yeah, it's not really a shock that out of all the people to do it, it was him. I believe they had a hockey player do it. What was it, Evander Kane with San Jose, I think, the Shark?
Yeah.
He had some other going on, too, besides that. And I saw they just put him on waivers to try to send him to the minors. So we'll see if any team picks him up, because I doubt that'll actually work. But
yeah, I'm surprised they would go that far to send him to the minors, because he's had a pretty fairly productive career in the NHL.
Yeah, I think not so much the vaccination thing, but I believe the issues before that may have been the problem. So, and I'm trying to remember what they were. I don't remember if it was a domestic violence issue or if it was something else.
Yeah, it may be
but
that.
But he had something going on that just, yeah, made it virtually impossible for them to hang on to him.
Yeah, one of the things I know, one of the teams, by the way, that's really having a poor year, besides the Blackhawks in the NHL, is one of the other original six, is Montreal. They are really been bad this season.
Yeah, didn't they? They just fired their general manager, I think.
Yeah, well, take a look at their record. Maybe that's a good reason for them doing it, because they are way out of it. They have virtually no chance of making the playoffs. On the other hand, Toronto looks like a solid team. And I think you pointed out in an email that a couple of the West Coast teams look like very strong contenders for the Cup this season.
They've the one division, you know, Calgary leads the one division and Edmonton is just a point behind them.
Yeah, both of those teams are very strong, very strong. So if there is to be a Canadian champion, you would think that it would come out from the Pacific Northwest this season.
Yeah, possibly. Well, you know, like you said, though, you know, Toronto is pretty good.
They're
first in their division, too. So.
Yeah, there's some solid teams. Florida teams, I think, are pretty respectable. So, of course, there's a long way to go before the season's over with.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember if people had Montreal as a playoff team at the beginning of the season. Or not.
Well, they have been pretty good the last few seasons there, weren't they? They were a solid team a year or two ago, if I remember. And they've really fallen on hard times this year.
Yeah, well, you know, that kind of seems to happen with some teams in the NHL where they go up and down for whatever reason. You know, they'll have a stretch where they're really good. And then, for whatever reason, they just end up being bad for in some cases, long periods of time.
And I'm sure this does not sit well with the fanatical fans they have in Montreal. It's almost like a religion. Hockey is almost like a religion to them. And Canadians are their beloved team, and to have them playing as poorly as they've been doing this season has to be very disappointing.
Well, you know, and I know it didn't help them that their number one goaltender, Carey Price, missed a chunk of time. I think he's back now, but I don't know. I don't know that for sure. I'm trying to remember. But, yeah, he was gone for probably 20 games or more to start the year. So.
Yeah, your backup goalie should be able to do a better job than what's happened to them so far, though.
Well, they're not the worst team in the NHL, so.
No. Oh, no. But they're way below 500.
In general, there's a reason why guys are backup goalies, you know, not number one.
For sure. For sure.
So. But, yeah, I want to see if Price has played this year because I thought I saw he was back. Oh, no, he hasn't even played yet, so that explains part of their problem.
And is he scheduled to come back in this month or next year possibly, January?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought for sure for whatever reason he was back, but maybe the news I heard was that he was going to be out longer than expected. So, I don't quite know what's going on with him. I'm not even sure what the injury was.
Well, they don't really tell you all that much in the NHL, as you well know. It's either a upper or a lower body injury.
It looks like all the reports are that there's a chance that he could be a trade piece. Oh, he stepped away from mental health. So.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah. Apparently, he went into a substance abuse program, and yeah, he's currently out for mental health reasons. But they don't look like they have any type of return set.
Well, I always when I see substance abuse, of course, you think of three or four deadly things that he's probably been taking, and that's not good for an athlete or anybody else to take.
No, I mean, hopefully, you know, he got the help he needed, and you know, things are, you know, back on track for him, and he'll be able to resume his career. But obviously, the most important thing is just for him to get right.
Yeah, I wonder what the percentages are for someone that goes in for substance abuse coming out and remaining 100% clean on a permanent basis. I have interest that it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never, never really thought of that as a, I'm just trying to bounce some of the guys off my head who went in for it, but I don't know if, you know, because you really have no way of really ever knowing if they relapsed unless they go back in.
Yeah, but you do see a lot of relapsing, though. And sometimes you're not even aware of it being a relapse. Kind of keep it quiet.
And guys at the time. So... you know, that was always a bit of an issue with professional wrestling, was keeping, guys clean, but they seem to do a better job once they're out of the ring.
When those things happen in pro wrestling, it's because of they start taking things because of the nicks and pain and various bumps and bruises that stay with them so long and on a daily basis.
Yeah, a lot of it seems to be, that's how you get it started. You take something to make the pain go away. So, just one of those things. And then, the next thing you need something to go to sleep, and you need something to help you wake up. And, all of a sudden you're in trouble.
Yeah, well, I would hope that the number one organization, WWE, supposedly are very stringent now when it comes to making sure their athletes are staying away from any of these things.
Well, that, and they started paying for guys to go to rehab. They never used to do that. So
they even pay for people that aren't with the organization anymore.
Yeah, they'll still pick up the bill for certain guys. So,
yeah,
which is nice of them.
Yeah, I went into a rehab one time because I was drinking more than a glass of Pepsi a night, but they could never break me of the habit.
Wait, let's see. I think I have something for that.
Oh, the rim shot.
There we go. So, I knew that was there somewhere. I just hadn't used it in a while.
But you found it fairly rapidly.
Yeah, well, fortunately, we don't have too much music to select from. So it was only a little ways down our list there. So... I was okay.
By the way,
well, see, with no bulls or maybe you can actually remember to watch Rampage tonight.
Oh, that's right. I watched a little bit of it last week. I wasn't all that impressed. It was okay.
Yeah, well, obviously it's their, I guess what you would describe as their B show. So...
and I don't know if you saw this. I didn't see the main event on Wednesday, but I saw on YouTube the last 5 minutes of that flaming table spot thing. And
yeah,
is that is that rustling, or I don't know what you would call that. I mean, is that a, do they do it to gain a ratings boost? I'm not sure why they would even do something crazy like that.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering the same thing. You know, I mean, obviously with my lovely new work schedule, I didn't see it. You know, I couldn't see it live. But, yeah, for, you know, I saw the highlight on, I don't know if it was YouTube or if I caught it on one of the wrestling sites. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, why are we doing this? I mean, is their feud really escalated to that they needed that spot?
When they do something like that, a stunt like that, is it when you go through the table, is that supposed to instantly put out the fire? Is that the theory behind it? Or?
You know, having never done it, I'm not actually quite so sure what the idea is behind it. But apparently they thought it was going to, but in a lot of cases, you know, we've seen it doesn't.
From what I've read is that Andrade was okay, but I think Cody was the one who suffered some burns. They had to be administered in the
Watch the spot, Andrade doesn't even touch the table. It's Cody who goes through the table.
Right, exactly, yeah. So that there was a botched spot to begin with.
Yeah, because it was odd because Cody was the one delivering the move. So.
Yeah, I don't know if something like that belongs in supposedly a sport. I mean, there's a lot of organizations that have that garbage type of wrestling, and does it really belong? And is that what it takes to get fans nowadays?
Yeah, I don't know really if that attracted any fans. I don't think that's why fans watch AEW. You know, I mean, just as a whole, it's a better wrestling program than what WWE puts on. So I don't know if that really did anything for them.
So you don't anticipate that they'll get a ratings boost initially, at least for next Wednesday show?
No, I don't think so. You know, because I don't think there's that many fans out there who are looking for that in wrestling. You know, because it really, it's not around as much as it used to be. You know, for a while there, you could find it on every set, on every corner, had some type of, you know, basically what they're called garbage matches in the business. You know, so you could see it anywhere, but now it's just that one fed. What is it? GCW?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Did you ever, they have anything booked like that when you wrestled or booked? Nothing is that wild. I mean, what about one of those street fight things?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we've had street fights. I've done street fights. You know, we've booked a million street fights, but never, you know, about the roughest it got was one guy hit another guy with light tubes. So.
Is there anything, can they do anything with the light bulbs prior to the match so that would minimize them getting seriously injured?
Well, what you do is you take the end off it and you put baby powder in it because the substance inside is causes cancer. So you have to get that out of there.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know, once that's done, you know, this way you get a nice little puff when they get hit with it. It looks like something. But yeah, when you're hit with it, you're hit with it. There's really not much you can do about it.
What about the garbage cans? Are those rigged garbage cans are lighter than the average garbage can, I would assume, or?
Depends, you know, where you buy them from. You know, everybody has kind of their own brand or their own make, but obviously you want aluminum. because it's going to bend. You know, the last thing you want to look at is a steel garbage can. So.
And the tables are rigged in a certain way that they, the wrestler will go through it with, real quickly and without injuring himself seriously.
Yeah.
Well, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do with that when, you know, it comes to the injuries, because you are taking a, generally it's a pretty good fall through a table. So that's kind of on its own. But, yeah, the table itself, you take the bracketing off the bottom, so there's nothing really holding it together. And once, you know, once any kind of weight or pressure gets on it, it should snap.
Yeah, I could see those things happening. What always confused me was with those crazy thumbtack gimmick thing they'd done. And you actually see the thumbtack sticking out of the wrestler's back, and you figure, hey, that's got to be some pain involved no matter what they do with it.
Yeah, you know, there is stuff that hurts regardless. You know, I mean, call it what you want. I know everybody's going to go, oh, my God, it's fake. You do that fake stuff. Well, land on a pile of thumbtacks and tell me how fake it is.
Yeah, exactly right.
So.
I remember seeing
a
match. Yeah, I must tell you one story. I may have told you this before, but I saw a match at the amphitheater between then world champion, AWA champion, Mad Dog Vachon, and Vern Gagne. And during the course, I was at ringside for this one, and during the course of the match, Mad Dog Vachon used his fingernails to scrape Vern Gagne on his back. And you call it a work or not, I could actually see red welts appearing on Gagne's back. So take that for what it's worth. I mean, I could see the red welt.
Well, you have to remember.
You have to remember back then when you were there, they made it much more real than they do now.
Yeah, so that kind of surprised me to see those marks. I mean, you can't do anything about that. There's nothing I could do to fake that. I mean, red welts are red welts.
No. You know, that's just, you know, part of the deal, you know, because they wanted to, you know, well, back then especially, they wanted it to look real. They wanted you to believe it was real. You know, the business wasn't exposed like it is now, you know, where Vince just gave it all away to make money.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's improved the sport or not. I would say not. I think it's just the opposite.
No. So... You know, with the way things are, you know, things are now. I mean, you know, as a whole, it can be such a joke because, you know, guys get up for moves that should have killed them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I know that's the stuff that the younger fans want to see, you know, so that's why they do it. But to me, it just kills the credibility of a match.
Yeah, and certain moves that are so obviously illegal, they legitimize. For example, Ron Garvin, the hands of stone. His finish was a punch to the jaw, and supposedly a closed fist is illegal in pro wrestling, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, remember the Big Show used that for a while too. He was
knocking people
out.
That's right.
So. You know, and technically it's supposed to be illegal to punch.
And if he legitimately hit someone with a fist like that, the guy's not going to get up ever.
No, yeah, you wouldn't think, you know. It may take him a while. So.
Yeah. But credibility is when a guy like Rey Mysterio beats the Big Show in a match type of thing. I mean,
yeah.
I could suspend disbelief, but not that much.
Yeah, well, you know, if it's fluky enough, you know, if there's some kind of interference or maybe he gets hit with something, you know, that takes him out, okay, I could see a quick three count. But, yeah, if it's just straight up and he Ray pins him with his finisher, you're like, wait, what, I'm sorry? So
yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I don't watch it as much as I used to. Maybe I'll glance at it tonight, though.
Well, you know, you got, what, 3 hours of it tonight because you got SmackDown first and then,
that's right.
You know, Rampage.
That's right.
You know, and to be fair, Rampage is on tape. It's a taped show. So
the results are all leaked already, I would imagine.
Yeah, everybody knows. Yeah, everybody knows what's happening. And I read them earlier, but I even forgot what the matches were because I don't anticipate being awake at 9 o'clock. So
yeah. Are you surprised that they seem to be turning Bryan Danielson heel?
No, I think it makes sense because their champion is a face. And if Danielson stayed face, he would probably be more over than the champ. So by making him a heel, it gives gives Adam Page a better boost and more credibility as the good guy.
They must not think they draw very well on the pay-per-view because they're scheduled for a match on Dynamite in a couple of weeks. So I was surprised to read about that.
Yeah, well, let's see if the match actually happens first. You know, it may be that thing where they do the double count out or it goes to a draw or something like that, where then they can build to the pay-per-view match.
Yeah, maybe not the rematch, some kind of a fluke thing which will cause a rematch.
So, yeah, there's always, you know, there's always things like that. You know, kind of like they did originally with Omega and Danielson where they went to the draw. So now everybody wants the rematch once Omega's back and healthy.
Yeah, well, he'll be out of action a while. I guess he legitimately needed some surgeries.
Yeah, something with his shoulder, I believe. He needed shoulder surgery. And he worked for a long time with it, so give the guy credit.
Yeah, yeah. And they have a lot of small wrestlers in that organization. I have to say that much. Maybe the trend now is for cruiserweights taking over the business.
Yeah, it really is. And that's why, you know, WWE is actually considering retiring their cruiserweight belt because basically all the guys are cruiserweights.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Oh, Seth Rollins, Tyler Black, he only weighs, what, about 200, 210?
If that. He'd be lucky if he's over 200 pounds.
Yeah, they always bill him a little over 200 or 215, but he's, what, about 200, you think? I mean, not even that?
Probably not even. Yeah, I would guess, you know, he would come in probably between 180 and 190.
Have you met him on the independent circuit when he wrestled here, didn't you?
Yeah, when he was a kid. So
arrogant, I think you said he was personality-wise left a bit to be desired.
Yeah, he not a nice guy. Basically, is the best way to say it. So.
But he always had, seemed to have some kind of talent, at least some kind of talent.
Yeah, I mean he's good in the ring. You know, it just unfortunately, you know, he sadly kind of lives the gimmick and, you know, is a tool bag in real life. I mean, maybe he's better now that he's a father or something. Maybe that helped, but I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that fan that attacked him a couple of weeks ago believed the hype too, huh?
Yeah, well, I think we talked about it. Apparently, the fan sent money to someone pretending to be Seth Rollins because he thought he was helping him out.
Yeah. As if he needed the fans' money, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, but he was mentally, I believe he was a little mentally challenged, I thought I heard him say.
Yeah.
So.
And, I was surprised. It looked like he attacked him from backstage. I don't know how he got there. That's a funny thing that I don't see him jump the guardrail.
So. You know, and at first you think it's, you know, it's a work. He's a plant and this is all set up. But, yeah.
Well, so as we've talked many times, it was a much more serious thing 20, 30 years ago when the fans believed it. And there were a lot of nasty incidents of fans attacking wrestlers. when they believe the heels gimmick.
Yeah, that, you know, that used to be a big deal, you know, back then. But yeah, now, you know, I think for the majority, everybody knows what the deal is. So
I think there was a fan in New York, her name was Hat Tin Hanny, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And I don't think the wrestlers liked her very much.
No. Well, how would you like to get jabbed with a pin on your way to the ring, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, not exactly the most fun experience.
No.
You know, fortunately, you know, they don't come armed or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that incident at the amphitheater that happened in a tag match, I think, when some wrestler, they shot at the wrestlers during the match.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it happened. I think Bobby Heenan was there and forgot who else, but I think a fan got shot, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a famous story. So, talk about believing the hype, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, there are, you know, are people out there that, you know, will get a little carried away at times. But fortunately, it doesn't happen too often now.
Yeah, and maybe less nowadays than then.
But yeah, I just realized that we have to make some picks here. I almost forgot all about it. So
yeah, we're running out of time.
We did have. Unfortunately, you were 1-3 last week, so you kind of struggled.
No,
but you're 84-73 on the season. So let's see
over 500 for another few weeks to put up numbers in the black.
Yeah. And you know, obviously we'll start with tomorrow here. We got the Bulls taking on Brooklyn. The Bulls are 15-8, the Nets are 15-6. So just straight up, who's winning the game?
Is it a home game?
No, I think it's a road game. I'm not on where it's listed, but I believe it's a road game because the Bulls are listed first.
Well, then I will have to I will select Brooklyn to win that game.
All right. And then we have the Blackhawks again with back-to-back. Saturday night they play the New York Rangers. Do you get them over the Rangers, who are actually a pretty good team, 14-4-3?
Well, I'm going to have to pick New York to win that one.
All right. And then on Sunday they go against the other New York team, the Islanders, who are just 5-10-3. So you got the Blackhawks getting a win there?
No. But
I think they
will get 1 point. I'll give them 1 point on the Sunday game.
All right. So, but you're going with the Islanders to win it?
Yes.
So. All right. And then, of course, the main Sunday thing here, the Bears taking on the 9-2 Arizona Cardinals. It's been announced that Andy Dalton will be the starter. Justin Fields is still hurt. So, just nice and easy this week. Who wins the game?
Well, I can't possibly see the Bears winning that one, so I'll have to go with the Cardinals to continue their record and go to be 10-2 after that game's all said and done.
So you're going against all the Chicago teams this weekend?
Yes.
We'll have to see if that comes back to bite you.
Well, I think for sure at least I should go 2-2.
You hope, yeah. So you never know, though. Weird things happen.
I meant to ask you what the spread was on the Sunday game, the Bears game. Is it Arizona, four or five-point favorites?
Give me a second, and hopefully I can get it before we go. Yeah, I got time, so I'll be able to chase it down before we go off the air here. Well, you know, the big question is they don't know if Kyler Murray is going to play, so I wonder if that has knocked it down a little. Oh, God, no. It's actually Arizona is plus 7.5-point favorite.
Now, that's an enormous spread for a road team.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is big.
So,
oh, wow.
The experts are saying that Carlos Santos won't kick a 58-yard field goal as the clock expires to get the Bears to victory.
I guess not, you know, not with that point spread. So I didn't think it was going to be that big.
Yeah, that's why I said 5, I guess, on 5 points, 5-6 points. But that's an enormous spread for a road team.
Yeah, and that's what Kyler Murray. What would it be if they knew he was playing?
That.
So I definitely wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, well, anything can happen in a sporting game. I mean, it could always be an upset, but it doesn't seem very likely to me.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think. You know, with the way the Bears played.
Not only do the Bears have to play Arizona, but the following week they go on national TV on the road against Green Bay.
Yeah, that's probably going to be bad.
Oh. Well, the Bears have to win 2 more games, so your prediction will come true then.
Yeah, yeah, they got to find 2 wins somewhere, so... Well, if it makes you feel better, the Nets are a 3-point favorite over the Bulls.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, the Bulls are playing this season.
That's worth about 3 points, right?
Yeah, exactly. I believe the Bulls beat Brooklyn at the stadium, UC, a week or two
ago.
Yeah,
I think they did. So, you know.
I mean,
always
Philadelphia this year.
You know, playing at home does help quite a bit. So we'll have to, see. Maybe they can get the road upset. Maybe it'll be one of those games where Kevin decides he needs the night off and doesn't play.
Some maintenance, they call it in the NBA trade.
Yeah. Yes. So he'll need some maintenance issues like. I did see, though, LeBron has cleared COVID protocol and can come back tonight for the Lakers game.
Oh, it's faster than I thought.
Yeah, well, I guess he had 8 negative tests was what he needed, and he came back clean, so he'll be allowed back. But, yeah, they were originally talking like 10 to 8.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
So, but, yeah, no, he'll be back tonight. Oh, hey, I didn't realize that it's time to go. I wasn't paying attention. Jeez.
All right, the music changes. You and I are going to roll out of this. Hopefully you do, too. Let's go on to you while we're on. First of all, I'm going to be doing a little bit of the blog on the call. What do you hear if you hit that link? I'll take you over to the Facebook page. Go on, you've got a like you want over there. Don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is on radio. I am also on Twitter. And now, if you were able to come on and listen to me on my live, thank you very much for doing that. We appreciate it. But if you missed out, head on over to tunein.com and put the link down below. All right, have a good weekend.